The director of the Phoenix VA and two other employees are on administrative leave following allegations that the hospital has delayed medical treatment to veterans. Note, these employees have not been fired. Legislation moving through Congress would make it easier for the VA secretary to give the boot to senior executives, though. Susan Sway Grunman is chairman of the Merit Systems Protection Board, which hears appeals from federal employees on personnel issues. She explains how the law could change.
The law distinguishes between conduct and performance for SESers, always has. Currently, an agency can only remove an SESer for conduct and disciplinary reasons, in other words. For performance, currently, the agency can only demote. And with that demotion comes a certain type of process. It's really a pre-demotion process. It's notice, 30 days opportunity to respond, and an answer in writing from the agency. Now, that's followed up with the right to what we call an informal hearing before us.
And how frequently does this happen in practice?
An informal hearing before us, what we've been able to trace back is maybe about 15, 20 cases in our history. So it's a very uncommon occurrence, and I suspect that cases are resolving or they're not being litigated.
And maybe this seems obvious, but if someone can be removed from conduct but not for performance, when you have something like what we've seen at the Phoenix VA hospital, can it be kind of both?
It can be both, but it's up to the agency to craft the charge. They can craft a charge either in terms of discipline, which goes through a regular hearing process, or they can craft it in terms of performance, which is a reduced process even in the current law, and far more reduced if the Senate version passes.
So the Senate version, I believe, is the one that says prior law notwithstanding. Does that mean they're trying to undo what has been in place since the SES?
Well, the way we read it is if the new law, the Senate version, is enacted, the secretary, not the agency, has the authority to remove, not just demote for performance. Both the House and Senate version do take away that pre-removal process, notice, opportunity to respond, and that written answer. So it is a one-step process. Removal, shortened period of time.
And how does that compare with what the House has said it wants to do?
Well, the House does take away that pre-removal process. It also has no appeal rights. The Senate version has an expedited appeal to the MSPB. We have to conduct that adjudication within 21 days.
Okay. So basically what the Senate would do is make, if somebody is a bad performer, it's on par with misconduct or with discipline, right? It treats all of those as reason to remove.
No, actually not. Conduct, as far as we can tell, has not been changed. The Senate version allows the secretary to remove for performance, whereas the current law only allows the secretary to demote for performance.
Okay, so removal for performance means they're out of government altogether. That's what
Correct. Removal
means.
Correct.
And so what we've been seeing in the VA, and again, nobody knows exactly what's happened with that understanding, it looks more like conduct if records were falsified than performance. So the question is the law aiming at what's really going on?
Remember that the agency is going to craft the charge. So if they frame it in terms of performance, and the Senate version passes or the House version passes, then there is no process, at least in the House version, or a reduced process in the Senate version. So it can be either way, but I suspect that they're targeting the performance arena.
And so just explain exactly what it would mean for you at the Merit Systems Protection Board if, say, the Senate version were to become law.
Okay, that requires us to adjudicate the case within 21 days and to, if we can't do it within 21 days, to report to the Congress why we can't do it within 21 days.
And do you foresee that this is something that you would actually be able to do within 3 weeks?
That's what we're talking about right now.
So the jury is still out on that?
The jury is still out. If Congress says it's 21 days or report to Congress, then it'll be 21 days or report to Congress.
So this is specific to VA. It seems like there'd be sort of a dual-track system then in place for SESers, whether they're VA or everybody else.
Well, there'll be this bill, as we understand it, only covers the VA SESers, not anybody else. So in terms of a dual track, if you're outside the VA, this would not apply to you.
Right. So that means that the MSPB and anyone else looking at this would have one set of procedures, rules, policy and practice for VA and the existing one for everybody else.
I think that's correct.
We're speaking with Susan Grundman. She's the chairman of the Merit Systems Protection Board. And as far as you read both of these bills, the House and the Senate, is there any reason to think that they would not hold up in court if challenged?
Well, you're starting to see that discussion begin in the media already. Now, we know that the Supreme Court has stated that public employees, like federal employees, have a property interest in continued employment. That interest is accompanied by certain due process rights, and that's the notice and the opportunity to respond that we've been talking about. And I won't be surprised if this issue is raised when it's litigated.
But explain that issue a little bit to those of us who think of property more like a house.
Well, it's a constitutional right. Your continued employment, before they take it away from you, they have to give you prior notice and the opportunity to respond to that notice before they take it away.
So that differs from the private sector where it's largely you're an employee at will.
That depends on the state you're in and whether they're covered. There's so much there other than just at will. In state law, it depends on collective bargaining rights. There are lots of other things that could play out in the private sector.
And I want to ask you to put this bill that looks likely in some form to become law in context of how the recent laws have changed what the Merit Systems Protection Board does in the type of cases that you look at. Because I'm thinking about a recent court decision that narrowed your action on those jobs that are deemed sensitive. And now we're seeing that your job could change also with regards to certain SESers.
Well, I think you're talking about the Conyers and Northover decision.
Indeed, I am.
Yes. Well, what we're hearing is that there are less than 400 SESers in the VA. So it's a good number, but it's a finite universe. I think your larger question is this part of a trend? And perhaps it is, and it could pick up or continue, or it could reverse, as some trends often do.
What preparations then can you really make for the board at this point, and are you just waiting to see what happens, and then you'll try to figure it out?
Well, I mean, we're having meetings now. We're discussing in-house now what that process, assuming that it's 21 days, will look like. It's clearly not going to be the type of process that we currently use, but what can we do within 21 days? And, of course, that's going to depend on the types of claims that are going to be or could be raised under the legislation.
And, of course, this presupposes that the secretary is going to decide in any kind of volume that he's going to target certain SESers to be removed. But that doesn't look all that likely. I mean, if there's one or two people involved in the particular matter at hand at VA, it's those one or two people.
Who knows? Exactly. Have a crystal ball, you could tell us.
Susan, I realize that this might be not something the Merit Systems Protection Board deals directly with, but if this bill, again, were to become law, what is the difference in terms of rights that SES members have versus political appointees who might get word from their higher-ups that their performance is bad enough for them to be dismissed or et cetera?
Well, this goes back to what Tom said. Political appointees are at will, so there is no process that goes with them.
Okay. So this does not put these career executives on par with politicals. They still have more rights in the merit system.
Correct, because these SESers are career. They're not political appointees. Under the Senate version, within the first 30 days after the law goes into effect, we have to submit a report on actions that we plan to take to conduct that expedited review and what resources that we currently don't have that we would need to expedite that review.
And do you have any idea of what those are?
We're going to find out.
Like 10 more people?
I don't know. Well, I really don't know. I mean, a lot of it depends on how many people come to us. I mean, clearly, we will have some sort of process in place once the law passes. So, I mean, that the conversation needs to occur now, and it is occurring now within the agency.
But that's a good segue to talk about what kept you so occupied for the past several months, if not a year, which was the furlough appeals. At one point, it completely swamped your agency. Now you've decided many of them, and it seems like there's a big takeaway that agencies, by and large, acted correctly when they decide who to furlough and how.
I don't think you can say that, and you really can't assume anything at this point, because of the 33,000 cases that were filed last summer, 4,000 cases have been processed. Looks like about 100, 200 coming out every 2 weeks or so. Half of those cases have been dismissed. either for failure to prosecute, for withdrawn claims, or some settlements. Now, I can take it to the next level. We're starting to see these cases in headquarters on review, and there are about 30, 35 of them so far. Recently, the board actually vacated one of the administrative judge's decisions and sent the case back to the administrative judge. And the vacation was really based on disparate treatment of the particular appellant.
And that's really what the whole thing centers on, is were the furloughs applied in an even-handed manner, or was there disparate treatment? That's what you're looking for to see whether the case was legit, case by case.
Correct. Absolutely.
Can you tell us anything more about that case?
Well, the case is Dye versus Army, and it was issued on May 23rd. And the case primarily had to do with disparate treatment. We vacated and remanded a decision to our regional office for further adjudication on whether the appellant should have been furloughed because his labor code was in a group of people where they were all exempted from furlough. So was he treated differently?
Was it simply an administrative oversight, or did it look like he was targeted?
Who knows? That's why it's going back to the regional office.
And what about the majority of your cases? Are they still waiting to get to the headquarters? I mean, where are they?
Well, the vast majority are still in the regional and field offices. And they're being processed one at a time or groups at a time as they're consolidated. They're going to get done, all of them, eventually.
So then to restate my question, there is no big takeaway so far from all of this, right? It's not, you can't really generalize anything.
Well, here's your takeaway. It has been an insane 19 months, and we're doing everything we possibly can to uphold our statutory function. Everybody around here, me especially, we're very proud of our employees. Those on the front line, the administrative judges, their support staff, our IT system, who's holding our infrastructure together, which was not designed to withstand this volume of cases or appellants. We've got all of headquarters pitching in to expedite the cases that are coming to headquarters, and the rest of the agency just stepping up whenever there's a call. It has been really an amazing performance under very difficult, if not unrealistic, circumstances.
So you just hope there's not another furlough between now and the time you get these through, because then it compounds the whole thing.
Those would be very dark times for us.
But I'm just thinking, as difficult as the past year and so or so are, you know, your agency became more, I don't know, you got systems in place, you're getting the job done, you've become more efficient, so that when there are these new laws that seem to perhaps or rulings that seem to change what you do, do you think that you'll be able to kind of take them and fold them into what you've got going on now?
Every day is a learning experience for us. I mean, we're learning how to process cases with thousands of people in them, which is a brand new occurrence for us. We're learning that how do you accommodate 300 or 400 appellants in a hearing? You hold it in an agency auditorium. You develop master files that the agency creates, and they can post online, which is what we've done with the furlough appeals. So we are a very time-sensitive agency. We're also a very adaptable agency, and that's what the last year has taught us.